Welcome to the Professional Plumber Podcast. We hope that these podcasts will bring some insight into who we are and what we do. So while in conversation with the PIRB, sit back, enjoy, and make sure to connect with the PIRB on Facebook or at pirb.co.za for more.
A warm welcome to our audience. My name is Willem Klopper. I have with me in studio Mr. Richard Bailey, and as usual, we're going to have an awesome, lekker, casual technical discussion. Richard, thanks for joining me in studio, and welcome.
Thanks, Willem. Always a pleasure, man. As always, I look forward to these, and let's talk about it.
We'll give our guests the opportunity to introduce themselves right after this.
Don't forget to download the all-new and improved App Plumber from the Google Play Store. All your plumbing solutions are just a click away, exclusively for Android users.
Drip tray overflow is what we're going to discuss today. And I want to start off by saying that we all know what a drip tray is and why a drip tray overflow is needed. So I want to ask you, Richard, what new information, what additional information can you give us around drip tray overflows?
Yeah, you know what? It's something that has just, it's one of those things that has been almost just forgotten about and overlooked for decades. I mean, from when I was an apprentice, you know, drip tray overflow was the last thing you'd think about in a geyser installation. Everything else, when everything else is sorted, it's the last thing that you, as an installer, kind of have to worry about before you leave site. You know, so it's been maligned to sort of secondary importance status, I think, if we could call it that. For decades, and it's one of those things. So we have come across, and we've all installed it. I've myself have installed it. You know, bad decisions about the quality of pipe and the type of pipe. So it's something that we that is fully covered within the standards, and we can talk about things like material of the pipe, the support that it requires to be properly installed. When I say support, I mean the pipe support, you know, the holding of it, the size of the pipe, the fall of the pipe, because it is in fact a drainage pipe, and then the position of discharge. So those things, the material, the support, the size, the fall, and the discharge position, I think we can talk about. Yeah, absolutely.
Clearly, by the sounds of it, it sounds like just because there is a pipe doesn't necessarily mean that it is compliant or fit for the purpose that it is used for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, that there's that LDPE, it's a low density polyethylene pipe that you can buy in rolls, and that is prevalent, and we find it so often that that is just slotted into the drip tray and left in the ceiling to its own devices, and it's all wonky and everything like that. So just because there is a pipe there, you're correct, doesn't mean to say that it is in fact installed correctly and that it complies
and fit for the purpose.
And fit for purpose, yeah.
All right. So you've mentioned a couple of the aspects that can be taken or should be taken into consideration when we're looking at whether a pipe that is put into a drip tray overflow, whether it is compliant or fit for the purpose that it is used for. So let's start with the material. What are the guidelines here?
Okay. So this might be something that not everybody knows, but the overflow from a drip tray is covered in the drainage standards, SANS 10252/2. It's not covered. Yes, it is kind of covered in 10254, which is the geyser installation, but the materials and the support and all that falls under drainage. So you've got to go look at SANS 10252 and what it says about the types of pipe that you're going to be using there. So it talks about the material. There's lots of possible materials that one can use for drainage installations. Most commonly, if we're going to make it compliant, obviously, and most cheaply, is the PVC that we use. It's deemed acceptable for above ground use. They speak to being able to support it properly, but we'll get to that. But the general premise for the choice of material is that it must be strong enough for whatever it is expected to do. It must be mm-hmm. durable enough. So it must be able to last the lifespan or the expected lifespan of the system and remain watertight for the expected lifespan of the system. And of course, when we say that, we're talking about the system. So not just the pipe, not talking about a hole developing in the pipe. I'm talking about mm-hmm. the methodology of joining it. The jointing methods. Is that going to remain watertight for the duration of the system, the lifespan of the system? You can have, I mean, the standards actually allow you to use a number of different types of materials. For example, galvanized, mild steel, the proper galvanized, the one that is properly threaded and so on. So good luck spending a day and a half installing a drip tray overflow if you're going to do it out of galvanized. You can use, the point I'm trying to make is that, yes, there is more than one option other than PVC to be able to use in a drainage system. But I mean, if you're going to go and do it in cast iron or galvanized or copper for that matter, have fun. Please call me. My number is 123456 because I want to come and look at that drip tray overflow. Now I jest, but look, the most common and the cheapest thing is to use PVC. It is acceptable. We talk about above ground and soil and vent PVC waste pipe, and that is acceptable. So, but what is important to realize is that the standards tell us what can and cannot be used. It's not my decision.
Before we continue with our conversation, have a listen to this.
Plumber training has never been easier with articulated plumber courses. Enroll now to upskill yourself at your own pace and earn CPD points. Our informative and easy to follow courses can be found on iopsitraining.co.za. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Articulated Plumber.
Richard, as from a consumer's perspective, I want to ask whether, you know, you say you PVC that can be used for drip tray overflow pipes. Certainly, I mean, it's PVC. Certainly, the PVC that we are referring to or speaking of makes provision to accommodate the heat of the water. Because, I mean, after all, we're talking about a geyser drip tray and a geyser drip tray overflow pipe.
Yeah, yes, correct. Heat is certainly a factor. We're not talking about huge temperatures. Remember that a geyser has its own set of valves, etc., that are there to safeguard it in certainly in terms of excess temperature, the TP should open up, and that's a different pipe. But yes, certainly, if there's leakage from the geyser, that geyser can be at 60 degrees. And yeah, you've got to use a material that is suitable for the expected conditions that it would need to fulfill. So yeah, temperature does certainly come into it, and especially with a nasty pipe like LDPE, it's got a behavior that materials scientists called creep, and it slowly but surely changes its structure and its shape to conform to its surroundings. So even though today you would fasten it properly, you come back in 3 years' time and it is now bowed in between all these brackets because it's got that particular behavior. Not so with PVC. So PVC is far, far preferable. In fact, yeah, well, let's not go too deeply into that, but yes.
For sure. All right, so obviously material, the type of material of the pipe plays a big role. What about the requirements for pipe support? Do these requirements change with the material of the pipe that is used?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to go and give you all the requirements, but if you have a look at the standards, SANS 102.5 two, stroke two. They give you, there are tables there, and they give you the allowed or maximum allowable distances between supports for various types of pipe. I will give you what they say about PVC, given that it is the most common type. So if you use, if you are using 40 millimeter PVC pipe, the brackets need to be a maximum of 0.6 meters. In other words, 600 millimeters apart.
Okay.
And if you're using 50 millimeter pipe, the brackets must be a maximum of 1 meter apart from one another. So if it's 40 mil, 600 mil. And if it's 50 mil pipe, 1 meter. So what does that mean, Willem? I mean, if you've got a pipe and you need to support it every 600 mil, and you've got 3 or 4 meters to travel, is there going to be sufficient timber in that roof space for you to be able to put a bracket every 600 mil? Well, if there isn't, you need to insert that that timber. You need to put it there. So, yeah, it often means that you need to install additional timber supports underneath the pipe in order to give it sufficient brackets as well as the fall.
Quite interesting. You mentioned the two different sizes of the PVC when you touched base on the PVC. What are the guidelines here?
Okay, well, the reason I mentioned the two sizes is because there's a lot of conflicting out there, and a lot of excellent plumbers, and not that a lot of good plumbers are confused with the sizes and what is allowed to be used. Some say that you have to have a minimum of 50 mil pipe, and others say, no, you can have 40. Well, I can tell you that all I can tell you is what the standards say. So the standards, this is now, we revert back to the Giza installation standard. And that is SANS 10254, subsection 5.1.2.3. And that requires that the drip tray overflow pipe is able to discharge at 40 liters per minute. That's the requirement. It goes on to say furthermore that it does require a minimum fall of 1 in 100. So if you as the installer can show that it that the pipe discharges at least 40 liters per minute and that it has a fall of 1 in 100, then you're golden. You fulfill the requirements of the drainage system or of the drip tray overflow, because that's what the requirements are. Nowhere in 10254 does it say that the minimum size must be 50 mil pipe. It doesn't say that. Or 40 mil nominal, should we say, because they would have termed it as a nominal size. But anyway, so it doesn't say that. It says 40 liters a minute, and it says 1 in 100 fall. I've done a tech talk on this, which is a little bit of a probably the same length, but there's a bunch of pictures that I used, and I did an experiment whereby I measured the flow from the drip tray. I put in 40 liters a minute, and I attached various configurations of pipes with sizes, bends, all different configurations. And I found that the number one most important factor is the fall. And that fall must start right from the get-go, right from the tray. So if you have a tray which is too low in the roof and your pipe is flat, you're not going to achieve that flow rate, no matter what size that pipe is. You've got to have a fall, and it's got to be continuous. You can't have a belly or a bow or a kink in that pipe. And that, to me, is the most important thing. So just to dispel any confusion regarding minimum size requirements, there is no size requirements, but there is 40 liters per minute is the minimum discharge, which is a lot of water, trust me. So yes, I would always lean towards larger pipe diameter. Yes, I would agree that it is better practice, but I can't, as an auditor, go to site and say, oh, you've got a 40 mil pipe, that's a fail. I can't do that. I have to show that it is incapable of transporting 40 liters per minute.
And at that fall, the minimum fall.
At that fall, yes.
Yeah.
100%. But that goes hand in glove, because it wouldn't allow for 40 liters per minute if it didn't have a fall. Trust me, I've seen it. It simply will not. So if there's a lack of fall, I can I can bet my bottom dollar that that will not discharge at the proper rate.
So at the end of the day, it's up to the plumber to show that the size, the gradient, and the configuration, as well as the length of the pipe, allows for that.
Correct. That is the onus. The onus is on the plumber to show for that, because that's the requirement of the standards. That's the only thing we can compare it to, compare the installation to, should I say.
Before we continue with our conversation, have a listen to this.
Are you a tradesperson or a trading company that is looking for a platform to market your services? Let Articulated speed up the process for you. You can use our podcast to sell your services. Email us for a quote at organizer@articulated.co.za. You can also visit our website at www.articulated.co.za.
So Richard, you mentioned discharge position. Is this addressed in the standards too?
Yes, it is. In 10254 as well, which is the Giza installation standard. I think it's 5.1.2.2. It says it's got to go outside of the building in a visible position. So again, you know, we've got to be able to tell whether or not something is going haywire on the Giza. If something's running into the tray continually, I need to be alerted of that fact as a consumer, as a homeowner. I need to be able to visibly see it. There are challenges where it comes to multi-story dwellings, etc., and there they use there's always this thing called the rational design. Okay, remember what SANS 10254 says about us as installers. If there are situations that it is impossible for us to strictly adhere to the standards, then we shall acquire a rational design. So if it's a multi-story thing, we don't want all these drip trays overflowing into the outside wall, I guess. So they'll come up with another solution, whether it's an air gap and a tundish and a trap or whatever the case may be. That's up to the engineer, and they will produce a rational design to which we will then plumb, and that's okay.
Just before wrapping up this conversation, have a listen to this. We'd like to encourage our audience to follow Articulated Plumber on Instagram and Facebook to learn more about any exciting and interesting news that we may have. Our handle on both Instagram and Facebook is Articulated Plumber. Richard, once again, what an awesome discussion we had, and what great information you've shared. I want to thank you for sharing this information and for your time and your effort in doing these podcasts with me. I think from a consumer's perspective, a very interesting information that you've shared in this podcast, and in this discussion, and from an installer's perspective, very valuable information that you've shared. So thanks for that. Thanks for your time. Thanks for the information shared.
It's only a pleasure, Willem. As always, I mean, these are things that I look forward to and I really do enjoy. So, no, it's only a pleasure, and it's a pleasure doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So am I. Looking forward to our next lack of technical discussion. And I want to say also thanks to the audience for having tuned in and listened. I hope that this has brought some value to you. I do believe so, actually.
Thanks for having tuned in. Make sure to read more about the PIRB on our website at pirb.co.za and on our social media channels like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.